Hour number two, chasing Big Joe. Teron Davenport in for Big Joe today here on 102.5, 106.3, the game at the Hermitage Golf Course, the Stars Golf Tournament. It is pouring down rain right now, but they are playing rain or shine, and it is obviously for a great organization in Stars. A man that I know that loves to play golf, maybe not today, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us now here on the program. Brett, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. It would be a rough morning for some golf this morning, but I'm glad they're out there persevering and, you know, playing for a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited to have TD with us here today. Brett, it is draft week. We just had an interesting conversation, though, because we, you know, obviously we know probably who the Titans are going to take number one overall in Cam Ward. And the question was asked by Nick Frazier, our producer, what do you do if they start off, you know, 1-6, 2-5, somewhere in there? You're committed to him as the starter, but right. Do you look at making a coaching change at that point, or do you just simply ride it out because you don't want to upset too much of the apple cart with a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's probably the hardest part. You know, when you're taking a quarterback, or let's say if they take the quarterback number one, it's obviously not set in stone, but let's say they do take Cam Ward number one, you know, and they don't get off to the start that, you know, they're obviously looking for. Like, the biggest danger is all of a sudden you fire the coach, and then you bring somebody else in, and then that's a new system, and then does that work out? Does that not work out? Then all of a sudden management's fired, potentially another coach, and you start going down this path of, you know, no consistency for your number one pick. And that's tough. Like, that's – I mean, there's plenty of guys across the league. You know, I think we talked about it last week, you know, these quarterbacks that are going, you know, top five, and they're going to organizations that are struggling, right? There's a lot of coaching questions, you know, you can say the same thing, you know, in New York, right? Like, what if the Giants don't have a great year again, and they take a quarterback or something like that, right? And Dable's gone, right? Then all of a sudden now you're changing things up again, for if they select, you know, quarterback. Just as another example. And I think, you know, that's tough. That's tough for a quarterback to come in. First of all, the pressure of being a number one pick, right? You already have that weight on your shoulders. And now all of a sudden, if there's a coaching change, you know, and you're learning a new system, you're adding more pressure, and it just becomes a lot. And I think that's why you see a lot of quarterbacks, not all the time, but most of the time, if you're a top five pick and you're going to an organization that's struggling like that, it's hard, really, really hard to succeed.
Brett, not just for the quarterback, but also just for the whole organization. I mean, you've been a part of stability. How critical, is that to everybody's development?
Yeah. First of all, what's up, TD? It's been a long time.
What's up, man?
Yeah. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, I think it's tough. You know, I've obviously been on both sides of it, and I think when there's stability, that gives your players confidence, and that gives other people in the organization confidence, right? And obviously that's what you want. You see the structure. You can kind of see what's going on. You can see decisions being made and maybe understand why they're doing them. And there's continuity, right? And then I've been on the side where there's not. And then there's like, well, the coach is hired, but then there's no GM. And then the order, the pecking order, I guess you could say, gets out of line. And then all of a sudden you got people walking around on eggshells. And that is the last thing you want as a player, to be walking around on eggshells. But then also you have coaches walking around on eggshells, like, hey, are we going to get fired midseason? You know, what's happening? What's going on? And all of a sudden you start coaching conservatively because you don't want to lose your job. And it's a snowball effect that just gets out of control.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. So we were talking about pick 35 and kind of the that they could be in there. Yeah, your favorite. You knew I was going to bring this up. And that is, if there's a game-changing receiver or edge rusher on the board, do you stick and pick? Or do you just kind of go, I really need to add more, and so you trade back in the hopes of getting into the third round and, you know, maybe adding something else? I kind of think they have to just be in the moment to really decide. But to me, I'm probably sticking and picking and taking the game-changing player if he's there.
Yeah, I think I know, TD, you probably got your kind of like your order, like you have your top tier guys that go, you know, in the first round, and then you have like your next tier that is like, you know, late first round pick, and then you get some of those guys that they like, you know, when you turn on coverage, right, and they're like, oh, I can't believe these guys, you know, didn't go in the first round. And there's like four or five of them, right, that seem to be, well, these guys should have been picked in the first round, but they're not. And all of a sudden you have these teams that kind of have this FOMO of like, well, wait a second, if I could trade up and I can get one of these guys, for example, Will Levis, right? Titans were picking 41. They trade up to 33 with Arizona, and Arizona, you know, gets pick 41, pick 72 in the third round, and then they get, you know, 2024 third round pick, right? And so is there a player out there, you know, that can squeak by Cleveland at 33, you know, get by the Giants at 34, right? So when you get to, you know, the Titans, like, is there still a player there that some team is like, hey, we got to get this guy, right? And then at that point, do the Titans move back a couple slots? I mean, the Bears have pick 39 and pick 41. All right, is there a player that they want to say, hey, look, we got two picks in the second round. Let's move up, right? Let's get a slot. Let's move back with the Titans. We'll give them a third round. Like, is there a situation like that that happens, right? Unless there's a player you absolutely love and you absolutely want, like, take them. But I also think pick 35 is huge, because I think that's how you get your third round pick if you want one.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You're right. It's like every year there's 50 first round picks, right? And you just see who spills over. And I think, like, for the Titans, if Jalen Milroe is on the board, if Jackson Dart's on the board, even Tyler Shook to a degree,
right,
then that's prime. I want to ask you this about the receiver position, and just because looking a little bit later, how you want to factor in the return ability. And, you know, you haven't
right.
been the premier punter that you've been. You've done the preparation leading up to games. How much does a dynamic punt returner factor into, you know, what you guys got a scheme to and everything that you do during the week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I punted against, you know, Devin Hester, Darren Sproles, Jacoby Jones. I mean, some of these guys where I felt like, Can I get a break? I felt like the only break I got was when, like, Peyton Manning was a quarterback for the Colts and it was an automatic fair catch because they just wanted Peyton to go get the ball, right? Go out there with his offense. It's a lot. I mean, if you throw a dynamic punt returner back there, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, if he's able to get 10, 15 yards per return, you're looking at a free first down, potentially more if he touches it, right? And so, you know, if there's a guy out there that they can get that can give you production at the receiver spot, and then all of a sudden you're getting it, you know, in special teams as well. I mean, that's huge because, you know, having meetings where, you know, you're punting against Devin Hester and, like I said, Darren Sproles and these guys, and you're like, hey, they're averaging, you know, 15, almost 20 per. It's like, how do you just have to punt it out of bounds, right? And obviously that doesn't happen every time. And so, you know, to get a game changer on special teams, you know, even with kick returns too, you know, if you can get out there past the 25 and steal a first down, I think it's crazy to think, you know, we call it hidden yardage, right? And how much hidden yardage there is in a game. And I've been a part of games where it's, you know, a super, super close game and it's only like 20 yards. And then there's some games where you can really get after a team and you look and the hidden yardage is like over 100 yards, right? And it's crazy. And so if you can get a player that can help, obviously towards that kind of category, you'd be surprised at how that helps, A, with field position, and then just at the end of the day, you realize, you know, we crushed him in hidden yardage, and it might not show up in the stat sheet, but it shows up with a victory. So
Brett Kern is with us. And, you know, speaking of special teams, I feel like, you know, when J-Rob and Vrabel and that group was here, they did a really good job of addressing special teams, of finding those special teams guys that's the reason they're in the league, that was their bread and butter. And I kind of feel like this team has gotten away from that. And now hopefully this new group is going to address that more, because, I mean, you lived it, Brett. You had guys on the special teams unit, whether it was defensively or offensively, that – you knew that was their specialty, no pun intended. I feel like this team needs to do that now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember, you know, telling you guys, you know, during the season, like, I don't think I go to those Pro Bowls without the guys that I have in front of me, and that's a fact. I mean, I punted the ball well. I was putting it where I needed to put it, but these guys, I mean, Darren Bates, I remember at Houston, you know, the first two punts went out of bounds because I think they had Jacoby Jones back there. And he came over to me, and he was in my face to the point that Craig Aukerman had to pull him away. He was like, you're taking money away from my family. Like, I will go down there and cover it. I mean, we had this altercation on the side. I'm like, Darren, I just hit two out of bounds. I'm feeling great. And he comes over and he's like, you don't do that. Like, this is my job. Let me prove it. And I'm going to go do it. So the next punt, I mean, I remember we're in the huddle and Wesley Woodyard's like, hey man, you know, just put it just outside the numbers. We'll go cover. And I put this thing about 3-4 yards outside the numbers, and who's the first one down there? Bates, literally trying to take his head off. I'm like, all right. So, you know, those kind of guys that you have on the team, you know, we had like 3 or 4 of them that year. Brandon Trawick was another one. And yeah. I mean, these guys, like, this is their pride. It's how they make their living. They go down there. They make tackles. They make plays. They're blocking. It's their pride, right? And so when you have those guys, you can tell the units across the league that have those guys, like those dudes. And then the teams that are struggling, will like, well, you know, we don't really address it. So, you know, we had the 6th round pick. Yeah, he's never played. I've been, you know, on teams where some of these guys have never played special teams before, but it's like, well, you kind of don't fit into the offense yet. But in order for us to like justify, you know, you being on this team, like you have to play special teams. Mm-hmm. And just remember in OTAs and even in training camp, guys are learning the basics of special teams, and I'm thinking, man, these guys are about to go out week 1 and play special teams. Like, so it's just a huge difference, and it just depends on how you want to address it, how much money allocate for it, and those types of players that you bring in.
That's a great point, because you look at Bryce Oliver, right? It took him a little bit, and then once Justin Hardy got here, then everything started to change. I wanted to ask you this, though, because I'm curious what you think. You look at the way everything is with NIL and the transfer portal, and you have these guys where it's just like, hey, man, I don't like the way this coach coaches me, so I'm a bounce. Do you feel that could be an issue? Like, how much of an issue can that be, you know, for guys rolling into the league where you're evaluating a prospect and you're like, well, I don't know if he was coached hard enough because this was a possibility of him leaving. If you know, as you're evaluating, what do you think of that?
Man, that's tough. That's a great question. I feel like with the portal and all that stuff and the ability to transfer whenever you want to transfer, you know, in that portal window, and there's really no consequence. And I get it, like, coaches can leave when they want to leave. But, like, there's no perseverance that, you know, we're teaching these kids, right? Some of the kids are like, hey, man, I'm a diehard. I want to put this jersey on. This is what I'm all about. And I get that, right? And then there's others that are like, well, I'm not playing enough. I don't like this coach. I'm out. Well, I come here. Yeah, I'm still not playing enough. Like, you're not really – like, what are we teaching these kids, right? And I just think that's another thing that's hard to evaluate, because I even look at, like, what Travis Hunter said. Like, well, if I'm not playing both, I'm out.
Right.
Like, as a coach, again, hey, like, no, you're gonna do what we say, right? I don't think you understand how hard it is to, A, learn an offensive game plan and learn a defensive game plan and be able to go out there and execute. Like, it's – like, you're going to go cover DK Metcalf and then, and, you know, turn around and try to go against, you know, their best corner. You know what I'm saying? Like this is hard. So, like, what's his – well, I'm not playing both, so I don't want to be here. I'm out, right? It's like – but that's hard to evaluate. I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I just think that, you know, the college game with the portal, I get it. You want to pay guys as much as you want to pay them. Like, that's your prerogative. Like, go ahead and spend money on these kids that, you know, potentially haven't even produced yet, right? But I think, like, when these kids can transfer, when they can hit the portal, how many times they can hit the portal, I think just really needs to be looked at. Because I do think, you know, starting here, whether it's not this year, next year, even the year after, it's going to start affecting the NFL game.
Yeah.
No doubt. Brett, appreciate it as always. It's finally here. When we talk to you next, the Titans will have made their selections in the draft. So we will be able to.
It's finally here.
Finally. Yes, finally. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Good to talk to you, man.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, good to talk to you, TD. We'll take care.
Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us on the show as he does every Monday at 10. Chasing Big Joe, Teron Davenport in for Big Joe today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.